It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another fine edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Good afternoon, Daniel,
Good afternoon,
or morning, as the case may be. I guess we hear this show a couple times during the week, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. One of the subjects that you deal with a lot, in fact, I think because we've done so many shows, what you've mentioned before, that one of your first kind of counseling roles was in what's called anger management, helping people with anger, and that's kind of what we're revisiting this week.
Yeah, that was an early assignment, you're right, when I was back doing working in the public sector, and I was involved in anger management and the program that they had. I recognized pretty quickly that it wasn't really a program that worked. I don't even know if it was particularly designed to work. People had to take a class
court
on anger
ordered,
management in order to get their bus passes or whatever, and some of them had been through it many, many times. I started, and then I designed my own anger management for teens and parents, trying to work out the problems between teenagers and parents. And that's when I started to, begin to realize, and I should have realized it, it should have been a no-brainer, but began to realize that all of this anger was really had a spiritual base to it. And when people hear me say that, they well, of course. I mean, but it's amazing how we miss.
Well, the Bible even says that. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And it says anger gives a foothold to the devil. Mm-hmm. So there is a definite connection.
Yeah. A lot of times in the world of psychology, we kind of bifurcate things like that, and we get off thinking, it's the brain, and there's a tendency to forget that. The Bible has already spoken to all these things. It spoke in different language, and so it's sort of like coming around and meet yourself coming back the other way. You know, I've known these things. I've realized these things before, but from a different point of view, and so it seems like a new discovery in some ways. But yeah, those were early days, and then I began to develop what I call the faces of anger. I think if people have listened to this show over the years, they've heard me refer to the faces of anger. You know, people might ask, what's so important about managing anger? Isn't that my business? I get a little irritated sometimes, or, pop off here and there, but it's well-deserved, and, they shouldn't have done that to me, or, he shouldn't have cut in front of me. It's just, what's so important about anger? I might get a little bit out of hand, but I ask forgiveness, and people say, you're forgiven, and then we sort of move on, and, why don't we just leave it alone and just, well— The thing is that giving in to anger of any kind, and we're going to talk about many different kinds or appearances of anger, is in a way, it's our way of being our own God. Now, people, I might get immediate objection to that. I don't know if I would go that far to say that. But, when we give in to anger, we're actually saying in our heart that there is no God. When you stop to think of it, when I'm giving in to anger, I want to be my own judge. I want to be my own master. I want to be my own resource. So I'm really saying that there isn't a God, or that I'm going to be my own God.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
You betcha. Mm. So people say, hey, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being your own judge and your own master and your own resource? And then, of course, the simple answer is that you can't serve God and yourself at the same time. And so you have to make a choice. And what I'm learning in life, and God speaking to me a lot about, is that you can't have both. And I think that we still believe that we maybe can. Mm. We might be able to have both. I might be able to have control of my life and still let God have control. But as the time, as we approach the end times and the dark gets darker and we begin to see, even in the political realm,
see
today, you can't have both. You have to make a decision. And when you decide to follow Christ, he says, if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And we're thinking, I'm still hoping there's a way around that. Okay. So that's what's wrong with it. And so recognizing faces of anger or the different manifestations of anger, is really important, It's recognizing ways that we are still serving ourselves. So recognizing the faces of anger is recognizing how I still serve myself. It's recognizing how I still deny the lordship of Christ and how I still refuse to acknowledge God's place. Anger is the weed problem in the Christian's life.
Anger is the weed problem.
Anger
I
is
hate weeds.
The weed problem.
I get angry at weeds.
Let me say. So that's just how broad I consider anger. It is the weed problem. And you say, well, there are others. No, anger is the weed problem.
And this goes across both men and women.
Yes, yeah.
Children.
Yeah. And so if we can't distinguish the various weeds, we can't rid ourselves of the weed problem. So that's why it's so important to take a look at anger. Why do we get angry? And, you know, it's another way of asking maybe, well, what is anger? Well, anger is a response to fear and shame. And, of course, fear and shame are rooted in our mortality. What is my fear? Well, it's ultimately death. But more immediately, it's fear of I'm not valued. I don't have control over things that impact my life. And I don't have power or resources, or I don't have enough. You know, even wealthy people get angry because the world is not enough. You know, because we're trying to be immortal. And so it doesn't matter, look at some of these people, all the money that's driving the anger in politics today. Mm. And some of these people are extremely wealthy beyond imagination. Mm. And they're just angry because you can't buy immortality. Mm. And so the world is not enough. Anger is a response to fear and shame. It's ultimately a separation from God. People might think, well, you're starting to preach now, so we'll get back to. I define anger as a fear and shame defense mechanism that's associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power. So it's a defense mechanism associated with the gain or the loss of value, control, and power. So it looks lots of different ways because what I do in pursuit of value, control, and power touches on just everything I can imagine in my life, from the way I dress to where I eat my lunch to the car I drive, how I drive, how I look at what you drive, where I attend church, how I relate to people in church, how I worship, my vocational choices, my choice, everything. It's just hard to identify anything at all that we do, even our choice of silverware. Mm. Anything at all that we do that doesn't have something to do with a pursuit of personal value, personal control, or personal power, or sense of resources. So what are some of the faces of anger? It can disguise as anything we do to acquire a sense of value, control, and power. Basically, our pursuits, our behaviors, our mechanisms, and our processes, our possessions, excuse me. Of course, you know, we all recognize those obvious outbursts of aggression and retaliation. Oh, yeah, I got that down into anger. I got that under control. But also regression and avoidance, you know, so is it a fight and flight thing? So fight or flight is as much a response to fear and shame as fight.
Hmm.
So according to our definition of anger, regression, avoidance, is as much an anger behavior as aggression and retaliation. Just different ways. So workaholism is a form of anger, and so is procrastination.
Hmm.
And impatience is a form of anger, and so is laissez-faire. You know, the person who doesn't care if they're on time or if you're on time.
That's an expression of anger. Yeah. Interesting.
Because it has to do with control.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It has to do with control. Addictions of any kind, to any degree, immediate gratification, as opposed to patience and planning, and postponed gratification. So addictions of any kind and to any degree. So we can stop and think about, you know, well, what do you mean by addiction? Television, smartphone, food, gambling. Of course, the main ones, drugs, alcohol, sex.
Well, it seems like a lot of the recovery stuff, too, is focused always on getting rid of resentments, mm-hmm. a grudge list. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a real focus of the kind of work mm-hmm. you need to do to get get free and stay free of your addiction is to give away and forgive these resentments.
And one thing we could throw in here too, that people can be addicted to resentments, and you can be addicted to your affliction, as we've talked about before. Personality types are, to a degree, characterized by disguised expressions of anger. That makes sense. They're a response to fear and shame. The gregarious personality, humor can be an anger behavior, insofar as it's a response to fear and shame, and it's a pursuit of value, control, and power, just like choices of vocations. Melancholy. A melancholy personality can be a way of defending myself. So that's also a response to fear and shame. You know, phlegmatic, all of the personality types, and, you know, there are the four, and then there are the 10 personality, quote unquote, disorders, or disorder of any kind of personality. So personality types also can be disguised expressions of anger, or they have that element in them. Sexual behavior has a very dangerous association with anger, because sexual behavior can so easily be a way of pursuing value and control and resource or power. Mm. You know, they say that there's no, that the ultimate control over a person is sexual control. And that's where a lot of these sadomasochistic behaviors come from. Pursuits of acquisitions and achievements also can be anger. And that is, they can be response to fear and shame. Again, pursuits of value, control, and power, as I say. When we consider here the difficulty of distinguishing a healthy pursuit of goals from the fear and shame-based pursuit of acquisitions and achievements, we appreciate just how subtle anger can be. For example, how can you tell a good competitive effort from a shame-motivated? You know, a lot of these, you know, speak in certain sports about, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. You know, so how can you tell the difference between a good positive competitiveness and a competition that's based in shame and fear? That is, an athlete whose performance is an anger behavior. Mm. You know, so you have two good athletes, and you say, how do you tell the difference? Well, a lot of it might be shown in their reaction to the loss.
Mm. Are you a good loser?
Yeah, are you a good loser?
If you're
loser?
Not a good loser, then maybe there's something going on with anger.
Yeah, yeah. And that principle can be used also to measure a lot of our own anger behaviors. You know, I'm purchasing a car, is that an anger behavior, or is this totally innocent? Well, what happens if the loan is turned down? You know, what's my response to it? That tells me if it was a pursuit of value, control, and power out of fear and shame. Mm-hmm. So we have a little more to go here, and then we want to talk about some tools for change.
Okay, anger management this week. Why is it important to address anger in our lives? It's kind of a human common denominator with everybody, and mm-hmm. we need to deal with it. And this is one of the areas that Daniel has had a lot of experience in helping people with, anger management, how to deal with anger. If people are struggling with anger, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, call me quickly. 425-778-6169. I only say that because impatience is an anger.
Okay.
778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast. Mark Holland, the co-host here with Daniel, and discussing how to address anger, why is it so important to manage anger, and anger can be managed. That's the good news here this week.
Yes, anger can be managed if it's understood. One of the things I find and found in my own life, and I'm not through yet. I'm still working on it. And in other people's lives is, since if we can't recognize the faces of anger, a lot of times we're actually practicing anger and getting better and better at it. You know, it's like, you know, as I said in the first part, that anger is the weed problem. And have you ever had somebody come to your house to weed and they start pulling out the flowers and leaving the weeds? So if we can't recognize the weeds,
we had some guys do that. They took out our ferns, and I said, are you sure those are going to come back? And they still haven't come back. I think they might have killed them all.
Yeah. And so, you know, so have people, you know, if you can't recognize the anger, so for example, a person might say, well, you know, I've got an anger problem at home and I'm really working on it. When I get home from work, I count to 10 and get away from the conflict, or I've got all these tools I use. But then during the day, you find the person, you know, whenever he or she gets stressed, they go over and get a latte and, you know, or eat a snack bar, or, you know, get on the internet and look at pornography or something. So they're practicing anger, for a couple of hours a day. And then when they get home, they're trying to fix it because they don't connect the two together. They don't see that these things I'm doing during the day, whether it be, eating food I don't need to eat, spending money I don't need to spend, wasting time, those are all procrastinating. Those are forms of anger, and I'm actually getting better and better at them, but then I'm trying not to be angry when I go home. And so we actually kind of work against that. Since anger is a response to fear and shame, and those two things are vanquished when we stand under, you know, the word understand means to stand under. When we stand under or understand God's governance, those two things, fear and shame, perfect love casts out fear. And so fear and shame, and we've, you know, what is shame? Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth. So that also has to do with our mortality and value, control, and power. So since we understand that anger is a response to fear and shame, the response to fear and shame, not a response to fear and shame, but the response to fear and shame, and that those two things are vanquished when we understand God's governance, just like light dispels darkness, then it's pretty clear that you either in life are angry or surrendered.
So we want to be surrendered. That's what we're moving toward.
And that's cutting it pretty thin. So, you know, I've had people say, oh, there must be something else. You're angry or surrendered. Well, you understand we're using a very broad sense of anger because we're trying to actually catch all the weeds, not just the morning glory or something. We're trying to get them all. Life experience is what it is because choice is so often a response to fear and shame. Our choices in life are so often a response to fear and shame that our life is what it is, whether it be the turmoil, the irritations, indebtedness, unfulfillment in marriage. You know, it is what it is because our choices are so often a response to fear and shame. Life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. We either live in surrender to God or we don't. As I said earlier, you can't have both. So let's talk about some tools for change. And tools work. They do work. You have to stick with them because a lot of times, again, you know, anger being as we've just described it, it's sort of linked to self-worship, and God is leading us in a different direction. So the changes that we take sometimes take us away from, or let's put it this way, they almost invariably take us away from our comfort zone. First and foremost, when you're talking about tools for change, and we're not going to go into a lot of depth about anger management. I'm not going to be able to help you a lot on this radio
show. Well, it's so individual, too.
Yeah. But the first and foremost, we have to recognize the lordship of Christ in every aspect of our day. And you can sort of hear me say that and say, yeah, check, got that. But no, it's much deeper than that. That is, you know, the more we learn about the lordship of Christ, who Christ is, the more we understand about how far off we are from what we should be. And so recognizing the lordship of Christ in our day, and not just every word, but every thought, every intent of your heart, we just have so far to go. Thankfully, we're loved in our imperfect state. Life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God. So first and foremost, I have to recognize the lordship of Christ in every aspect of my day. And life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God. And letting go of my lordship and letting go of my entitlement is first and foremost in solving the anger problem. That's not something you do once, by the way. I have to do it several times between here and home when I...
Right.
Yeah, so...
You've just said that you have some road rage.
Well, it's not rage anymore, but I do have many sermons that I preach between having to do with correct driving between here and home. Yeah, so I'm trying to dial those down and, Secondarily, in order to grow your world, and when I say growing your world, you know, I've spoken in different broadcasts, but your world is either getting larger or smaller. Anger is part of my world getting smaller. If I'm the God of my life is very small. My world is very small. There's not room for other people, and I'm threatened by challenges, so my world gets smaller and smaller, and I find myself withdrawing from people and withdrawing from challenges, one or the other or both. And so, secondarily, in order to grow your world, which means in addition to moving toward relationships and toward goals, et cetera, it means getting rid of the anger. Those are part and parcel. Growing your world, yes, does mean pursuing goals and relation and relationships in balance. We tend to go err in one of two ways. People who aren't good at relationships tend to be more comfortable with just pursuing goals to the exclusion of relationships. And people who aren't very confident in goals tend to rely on other people to make them feel good. So they tend to over rely on relationships. We have to pursue goals and relationship in balance. By the way, these are the two divine institutions, creation and relation. God creates and he relates. And if you think of everything that God does or says can be under that understanding of God, he is creating and he's relating. And so in order to grow our world and move toward faith and all of those fruits of the Spirit and things like that, part of it is pursuing goals and relationships in balance. And this implies some things: development and daily exercise of things like organization, diligence, faithfulness, truthfulness. This isn't exhaustive. Grace, forgiveness, hope, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. And also things like some of the tools I teach are just, you know, organizing your thoughts, organizing your day, taking care of your inbox, checking off for behaviors. I talk about beliefs, emotions, behaviors, beliefs, emotions, behaviors, checking off, and so ways of controlling my beliefs and my emotions and things. So there are those tools, the development of those tools and the daily exercise of those tools. In short, all of the things we know that simultaneously promote success and close relationships. And again, I say people tend to err in one direction or the other. They can put a lot of things in place to make them successful in business, but they don't have any relationships. So they can put, you know, they can find ways to meet up with people, but they're not really getting the chores done, or they're not really moving forward in life. You know, can be things as practical as, I'm not employed because I don't have a resume. So things like that, you know, really practical things.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the lordship of Christ, and then those, and then building those tools. Growing your world takes you away from anger. So as you can see, we've introduced this, and I'm sure people have lots of questions. And mm-hmm. what sounds interesting? It mm-hmm. sounds like, you know, a lot to it. And so, yeah.
Well, I want you to help me with my current anger issue, which is technology issues, like how do I get my pictures off the iCloud? I'm getting really mad about that.
Oh.
The little foxes, the little things that kind of tick you off, that's my current thing. So
yeah.
Maybe I need to go to you for some anger management issues. Well, if people are struggling with small things of anger or large issues that have blown up families, anger, not getting along with people. You or somebody you know of is struggling with anger and how to manage it. Daniel has a lot of expertise in helping people in this area. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, people call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find these radio shows there as podcasts at BibleBasedCounselor.com. I have an office in Kirkland, an office in Edmonds, and always happy to help.
Okay, another great edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.